Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this week's episode of Game Cabinet. This week we're reaching in and we're going to grab Digimon, the trading card game. No, not the one from the 90s, all of you who are panicking and worrying as I say this. There's been a new one. It's released early this year.
2021, yeah. I think 2020 was when it dropped in Japan, and then it dropped here in 2021, I believe.
Yeah, I think it dropped May-ish, May-April-ish, somewhere in there. I have been stupid obsessed with this game. I have spent far too much money, and it's been worth every single penny. It is unlike most trading card games, which is why I think I've hooked onto it really heavily. Bandai did a small collection of games. They did a Naruto versus Naruto Shippuden, and then Naruto versus Boruto kind of card game a while ago. Then they released an Evangelion version of the same card game, just reskinned to Evangelion. They did a Godzilla one, which I'm still mad our distributors never got to us, because I really wanted it. Especially now that I've played Digimon, I now really want it. But they decided that it'd be a great mechanic to bring over to the Digimon game. And instead of working with energy, we work with memory. And essentially, we've got a memory gauge that goes 0 to 10 on two different sides. And basically, if your memory gauge goes across the 0, it becomes the other person's turn immediately. And so that's a big difference in how you play your cards, because if you only have two memory but want to play a four drop, you're giving the other person two memory. And so that's become a really cool mechanic that they have. They have a really neat leveling up mechanic that is very similar to like Pokemon Evolutions. They have nice little numbers printed on the bottom left hand of the Digimon card, and then you can tell what level it is. It's generally cheaper to upgrade through to like evolve a Digimon than to what they've started calling hard casting a Digimon. Usually a like level 6 Digimon is 12 to play, of which you can play, but you're going to give your entire opponent, you know, up to 10 memory for it at any time. Or you can pay like 6 and upgrade it, which is way more reasonable. The other cool thing is you're not restricted by the energy you have. You get to play whatever you want and give your opponent however much memory you're willing to give them. Mind you, at that point, they can play two or three cards and still have it be their turn, but you can still play out this big card if you think that it's going to help at that moment. I think that, what was it, last week, George?
Mm-hmm.
You and I got to play our first match?
Yeah, it was great. Hello, everybody. I'm also here.
Hi, George.
Everybody's here. We've got George and Hannah as usual. I'm just that excited to talk about Digimon.
Drew's back. We're excited you're back.
Oh yeah,
indeed.
I'm back. I exist again.
But yeah, we got to play about a week ago, and we didn't have a lot of time, which was the disappointing part, because once we got through that first game and I got done asking like my 20 questions of, you know, through the course of the game, how does this work and how does this work? And by the end of that game, I was up to speed and ready to jump into another one, and we ran out of time. But it was great. I mean, it helps having the context of playing some trading card games before, but I could easily see this being something that you could just teach to somebody that's new to the genre in general.
Katie's played a little bit of Magic, a very little. She's played a decent amount of Yu-Gi-Oh!
Mm-hmm.
And she's played no Pokemon. I think it took two matches, mm-hmm. and she was like, oh, okay, now I understand exactly what's happening now.
Right.
Like, to the point she actually won a match against Kyle, which was really awesome. I was like, dude, this is like your third or fourth match. And she's like, yeah, I get it, though. It's a little similar to Yu-Gi-Oh! In the fact that it doesn't have, like, power and toughness or mm-hmm. hit points and power of the attack like Pokemon right. or Magic does. It's very Yu-Gi-Oh!-esque, where it's, mine has 14,000 digipoints is what they call it. It's pointage, it's power level, whatever
yep.
you want to call it.
Yep.
You know, yours has 1,000. Cool. Subtract numbers, who survives? You know, kind of a deal. And I really enjoy that, though. It's really nice to not be like, well, is my 2-5 going to die to your 3-2? What is best block? Oh, no, this number's bigger than that one. There's no blocking mechanic, which is weird. I'm not used to that at all. What's your take on not being able to block. You've played a little more Pokemon, and as far as I know, there's not as much blocking in that as either, so...
Yeah, they all do it a little bit different. Pokemon, you have, like, as if you were, like, in an episode of the TV show, you have your one Pokemon that's out, and then those two Pokemon, you and your opponents, are doing battle directly, one-on-one. And that's neat and everything, but Digimon kind of blends that all together, where... While they're kind of in their little early phase, you have an egg that you start with every turn, or you're doing something with your egg and making it into a Digimon and that kind of thing.
Yeah, either making a new egg or evolving a current one that you couldn't on the last turn.
Which is really nice because it helps the pace of the game keep going, even if, you know, your hand of cards isn't necessarily like the most, I don't know, like... If you don't have, like, the best hand of stuff that you can actively do every turn, you're still doing something with that one egg that you either make or manipulate to put into the battlefield somehow,
yeah.
Which is a really cool way to do it. And then on top of that, you have the option, like you mentioned earlier, to just hard cast something for a little bit more memory, but then you get to put it directly out into the field, which is kind of cool, too. So you can have more than one, like you do in Pokemon, but also it is... simpler for like the math purposes because you're dealing with that one number rather than two like in Magic or something.
Well, and on top of that, you don't end up with these crazy Magic like board states where there's 12 plus creatures on one side of the field. That's not even including your opponent's side. Your lone easily can pop out 12 creatures by turn 4 or 5.
Right.
And even with hard casting out creatures to try, like even cheap creatures, mm-hmm. like I think red's the cheapest so far, like as far as putting out the, green is the cheapest, I think, actually, because it's got a lot of like 2 and 3s for really low DP, but it ramps up its DP and levels really high.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of noticed that they were much cheaper to pop out, but even then I couldn't pop out more than maybe 2. I might have gotten 3 Digimon out in one go, but most of them are going to be like 1, maybe 2,000 DP. Oh, it was purple because I was playing against you and that's when I noticed it the most.
Oh, nice. Okay.
They were just super cheap and I could pop out a bunch, or black because you were playing purple, but popped out a bunch of really cheap low level black ones, but they were only 1,000 to like maybe at best 3,000 DP, whereas most of the ones you were popping out, even at your lower level ones, were still 5,000 DP or so.
Right.
And I was like, okay, so this one's meant to kind of just rush and overwhelm. Gotcha. Which should bring us to hit point.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of how their hit point mechanic functions here. Instead of having hit points or the, what is it called, prize system. That's the other one in Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
You have a hit point, essentially. And you have 5 security cards, which is much more similar to Weisschwatz.
Mm-hmm.
It's a super obscure, some of us around here know it, but it's most people don't know about Weisschwatz. It's a super obscure Japanese game that I think they print like every 6 starter decks that they make, they print one of them in English, kind of a deal. Like they don't print a whole lot of English cards. We just didn't hook onto it, I guess. I don't know. It makes me really sad. It's a fun game. But every time you get hit, you get to flip a memory or a security card. If it's a Digimon, it's still going to go to your trash pile, but you have it fight the current Digimon, so you have a chance at eliminating an attacker, essentially, which is a really cool mechanic, in my opinion. If it's a tamer card, most of the time they tell you to just play it for free. Same with optional cards. They tend to tell you to just play this card as for whatever it is. And I've seen a few decks have enough removal to where I've flipped over a card that's give a Digimon 10,000, negative 10,000 DP. You know, when a small Digimon hit me and I could be like, cool, I'm going to cast it onto that small guy that just hit me and just kill him anyway. So you get a couple of different options. I flipped over one and it had be like, gain a memory. And my opponent was only at 1. So it instantly became my turn, like cut their attack sequence out, essentially.
Nice.
Which was really cool because they had 2 or 3 more Digimon to attack with. So that was nice to just be able to like, no, it's my turn. Give me that.
And that's one of the things we were even talking about while we were playing, that the idea of not just having a straight up life total that your opponent has that you're trying to whittle away at and bring them to 0 is really nice, because in the course of the game, when you do have those security cards get checked, they call it security check.
Yep.
You'll flip over the card and it's either something that will fight against that Digimon like you were mentioning, or reduce its damage ideally to, you know, make you not take any or ruin their future plans. But then there's also some kind of a balance that comes from it.
Yeah.
Where, like, when you hit me the first time in that game, I got, like, a little trainer card or whatever.
Yeah, you got Matt.
Yeah, which made my next turn much better. Which, you know, at that point, it helped balance out the game because I took a hit, but then I get this extra little bonus on the side so that it doesn't feel like I had a complete wash.
Yeah, kind of the exact opposite of Pokemon.
Right.
Instead of somebody doing well, so they get praised for doing well, essentially.
Right, taking a prize card, right?
Yeah, you know, you take a prize card and you feel better about yourself. But with Digimon, it's, oh, I got hit. Okay, well, we're going to balance it towards whoever's losing, which is correct. Why I kind of equate it to that Vice Schwartziness, because Vice Schwartz, when you get hit, you go up in levels, and it's when you go to level 4, you die, essentially. But as you get hit, you go up levels, allowing you to play higher level casts, essentially.
Right.
And that's why I like the security a little bit more, is because it's giving me something, oh, I'm losing. Obviously, maybe your deck isn't as good. So it kind of gives you a nice little, well, let's ramp you up a little bit and see if that helps get you going again. And I've had really garbage hands, but got security checked 2 or 3 times, ended up with, I think I was playing the blue one. So I ended up getting the mats out of those, which are tap and gain a memory.
Mm-hmm.
So on my next turn, I ended up with like 1 memory, tapped all my mats, and ended up with 3 or 4 and was able to actually start pushing back because I was gaining more memory to actually afford a pushback. And that was just everything they've done with this game is so good, especially after doing some very minor research on the one that they did in the 90s. That thing looked like an abomination. And this just runs really smooth. It's very easy to get. The fact that, like you said, you played a match, but you've played a lot of TCGs, but at the same time, you played a match and got it. I've played plenty of TCGs where I still have to play 2 or 3 matches. Right. I'm still not very clear on Pokemon. I won't lie. I've played maybe a couple hours worth of Pokemon, you know, and so I think I've played 4 or 5 matches, maybe, in total. And so I'm like, I have a basic understanding of what's supposed to happen, but I'm not the best. But Digimon, couple and done. And so that's been one of the crazier things that I've been enjoying about it, is it's so easy to get my friends into.
Right. Going a little bit in the other direction, for somebody that has played a little bit of Magic or, you know, other things that are a little bit more complicated, less, you know, less easy to learn, I guess is easy. It's, you know, no shade to Magic. I love Magic, but it's complicated.
Yeah, I think I normally run 4 or 5 games with somebody before they're like, okay, I have I have a good grasp on what's happening, but they still aren't to the point that they can make great plays.
Where, right.
You know, you finish up your match, you're like, oh, what did you have in your hand left? And you look and you're like, dude, you could have whomped me. Like, what did you... That doesn't happen with Digimon as much.
Right, right. But the point of the bringing it up in the different direction, I was playing, like you mentioned, the purple deck.
Yeah.
Which, a question that I have is how many colors there are, just to throw that out there.
6. But,
right on. Within each of the different colors, it seems like there are, you know, special emphasis that they put on certain aspects of the game. Like the purple one reminded me very much of the color wheel of black in Magic, because it was dealing with using your own creatures to get rid of your opponent's creatures, you know, sacrificing your own or putting them in your, whatever, I forget, trash.
Or,
yeah, whatever the graveyard is for Digimon. But it had enough of the straightforward mechanics where I could be like, oh, this is that one spell that makes you sacrifice one of your creatures to sacrifice or to kill an opponent. And, you know, little things like that where, you know, you were mentioning the whole weird color wheel that Magic has and all its emphasis have some applications if you were trying to, like, wrap your head around the rules and things. But so there will be some familiar things and then some things that are just wildly different because of the memory system rather than having mana or energy cards like in Pokemon and all those things.
But yeah, so that's a good point. There are 6 colors. Red, blue, yellow, green, purple, and black, I believe, are the colors to them. Hold on, let me look. Yep, all right, we're good. I brought my decks with me. I had intended to try to play with Hannah before we started, but I had a late morning. But yeah, they all kind of focus on red is very magic-y red, where it's just that aggro push to kill kind of a thing. Blue seems to be a bit more of what Magic players would call a green.
Okay.
Because it tends to have either, I think that both all the tamers in it, like in the deck, at least the starter deck, are tap and gain a memory. They have a few things like Sparkhammer, where you gain 2 memory. There's a new card out that I just was looking at for BT5, where you gain 1 memory, but it's like a 0 cost.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's really kind of cool. It just gives you extra memory. And so it's a little more blue of that ramp. Green is still a very green-like color, but it's without the ramp and more focused on just the big stompies, okay. where it's about really evolving those Digimon so that they can get to those higher levels and have those high DPs and start really swinging and getting you extra things. Yellow is a weird color. It's kind of white. Kind of. It, at least in the starter deck, it was one of the first. It had one of the few cards that had recovery in it, which is you get to essentially either bring back or put a new security card into your pile.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it gives you another security card, essentially.
That's pretty big.
Which, yeah. That's why when these released in, I think it was May, March, because by April, I was looking at TCG Player, and that one card out of the starter box, $10 starter box, was going for $90.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I'm really sad I decided not to hop on the wagon and pop off the extra one that I had.
Oh.
I would have paid for a whole nother box.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part. That one card was paying for boxes at that point. But so it's got kind of that life recovery, and it's got more to deal with boosting your own kind of creatures. Purple is what we were saying is the grave portion of it, of black.
Which was really fun, even just coming in cold, not having played before other than watching you and Kyle do one game, which I barely was paying attention to.
Yeah,
at the
we
time.
Literally were just whipping through, waiting on somebody, weren't we?
Yeah. But I mean, just picking it up, I was like, oh, okay. You know, with some obvious changes, I'm playing like a graveyard deck in Magic, effectively. But with it just looks like they're all Digimon.
Yeah.
No offense to either.
Black is weird. I've played black. It seems very similar to red in that small creature rush kind of an aspect.
Sure, yeah.
I think I need to play with that one a little more to kind of get what that one's trying to do.
There's something to be said for not having gone to the bottom of the well yet, though. I mean, even though you've been playing for a few months, right? there's still kind of more to discover for that part of the brain that likes to mechanic stuff.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that I think we're one or two more BTs behind Japan.
Okay.
So that's what they call them. They call each box series a BT. And so
booster theme or something.
Possibly.
Like that?
I don't know.
That's fair.
I think it's weird. Why not? Whatever. They call it BT and I'll live with that.
That's fair.
So in the States, we ended up with boxes version 1.0 and version 1.5.
Correct.
Which together, if you get every card from both of those sets, is BT 1 through 3. I hate those sets currently.
Fair enough.
As a guy who's primarily collecting this and playing far more casually, like a kid playing Pokemon, like that's really the mentality I'm trying to keep with this game is, no, we're not going to go crazy. We're not going to go ham and just absorb and demolish everything. I want to have fun with this game.
Yeah.
And so I've been collecting most of it. Collecting the special boxes of version 1 and 1.5 make it really hard to be like, oh, well, I just need to go buy another BT2 box. You can't. You have to go buy these other boxes with 3 other sets in them. And that's becoming a little irritating, especially after I just put away my BT 4 and 5, which is too current. We're at 5. I think there's 6 out in Japan right now.
Okay.
I think we're supposed to get ours here in a couple months. And then I think we're on track to start getting ours every time Japan gets theirs. Cool. Like, I think that we'll be on keel all the way through from there on.
Cool.
It looks like, September and October are the main drops for the English releases.
Yeah. Cool. And I think that'll catch us up and get everybody worldwide caught up to what they're going for. And so, but my BT 4 and 5, I just put them into my books. One copy of everything, trying to get into the binder, make it look nice.
Nice.
Complete collection. BT 4, 3 cards. I'm missing 3 cards, not including secret rares. I don't include those. You're not allowed to get, you don't even get one per box. I'm not worried about those. I'm worried about getting the main collection. I'm missing 3 cards. On BT5, I'm missing 1 because of the fact that the boxes are specific to those sets.
Right.
So
right.
Having to go back and be like, okay, luckily version 1.0 and 1.5 both have like card lists on the back of their memory gauge that if you get 2 of them and line them up, you can essentially highlight what you need so you can see what set you need to be buying out of at least. Cool. But it's still kind of obnoxious knowing that you're wading through three sets of cards. I guess that's the only downside, I think, to this game currently, that you're sifting through three sets of cards to get the first three sets completed if you're looking to do that. Gotcha. But at the same time, TCG players, the market on there is getting a lot better. The market in general is getting a lot better for it if you're looking. I still can't find the secret rares to BT 1 through 3, but BT4, I found all of them. That was nice, and they're not even going for very much. I think the most expensive one I saw was like $20, which as Magic guys and seeing the Pokemon game lately, peanuts.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when you're looking at this dude be like, oh, I popped this slightly foil uncommon for Pokemon. It's $30 right now. And you're like, oh, Jesus. All right, fine. It's kind of nice to at least see like, oh, this is like one of the coolest cards you can get. It's $20. Cool.
We have been having trouble getting in the starter decks, but it is nice to see that the supply of the product is actually getting to the point where we've been able to actually have booster packs to sell in the store again for the first time in I don't know how long.
It's so nice. What's really nice, though, is that buying a few decks or buying a few packs, and once you get enough eggs to make a deck, which is minimum, they suggest is 4. Maximum is 5.
Okay.
They don't really suggest going any lower. I was looking at the thing and they're like, you can go lower than 4. We just don't suggest it.
Okay.
Because that's what they start their starter decks with. And you also get a pack with their starter deck. So they're kind of hoping that maybe you'll pop an egg of that color to throw into the deck as well. To be like, okay, cool. I can finish maxing out my eggs. Here we go.
Right.
Other than that, that's a really, like, it's not that hard. Once you get enough eggs, you can really just start building a deck. And that's kind of the nice thing is that you don't have to worry about having mana. Right. You don't have to worry about having energy. You just get to start building the deck and knowing that that resource is just going to be part of a tug of war you and your opponent are going to play. So it's, I haven't built my first deck, but I've watched lots of videos on it. There are lots of really easy decks to build that are really efficient, actually. Like, currently what a lot of people call it is Rookie Rush. You get a lot of level 3 to 4 Digimon, and you just start swinging with them. Because of a major thing that we have totally neglected, there's no blocking. Unless your Digimon has the blocker aspect on the top card, there's no blocking to this game. So that's why you can put out level 2s and 3s and swing with them, and you just have to get the hit. That's what matters for the security check. And so you can get, even without a starter deck, you can kind of get the game, buy enough packs, and you can kind of get the game going. They're also, the boxes aren't as much as Magic boxes are.
Yeah,
I think they're $86 or so, $90, I think. And so
definitely much more affordable than Magic has been lately.
Yeah, especially with.
And that's a box of boosters, not the starter decks.
Yeah, that's a whole box. A whole box of boosters is only like $90-ish, when Magic is like 115 plus tax, so it's 125, mm-hmm. 124, 86 after tax. I like Magic, so I buy and sell a lot of it. But that's almost, you know, $30 difference for it. And the fact that I can pretty assuredly say that if you buy a box, you'll have enough stuff to make a deck.
Nice.
Easily.
Nice.
Like, maybe even a couple.
Right.
So are the decks then, is it like Magic where you can combine different aspects of decks so you don't have to have just a red deck or a black deck or a...
Absolutely.
Cool.
That's actually one of the big parts that they were focusing a little more on with Battle of Omni, which is BT5. Mm-hmm. They brought in a few more multicolor cards to kind of help with that as well. Like, I think Omnimon is yellow and red. And you can have a yellow-red deck if you want.
Nice.
How deck construction kind of works, you get a 50... card deck. You're going to have 5 eggs and then you're going to have your 50 cards. You can only, it's kind of commander as far as Magic goes. You can only have cards in your deck that are colored to the eggs you have in your pile.
Okay.
So if I want to pick one of every color except for one egg, because we have a maximum of 5 and there's 6 colors, so I decide I'm not playing with this color. I can make a deck that has all the colors that I chose in it. So I can have 5 color deck if I want it.
So how do the egg things work?
So essentially you've got your deck, mm-hmm. you've got your eggs, and then if you've got, form a little box in your mind, essentially a nice little square tablet, cut it in half.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom half is now called your breeding zone. If you have no egg in front of you at the start of your upkeep, you essentially do your upkeep, untap, draw, you then go to breeding. If you have no egg in there, you just flip an egg over. And then if you want, you can start spending memory to evolve it. or you can start playing things onto your battlefield.
So do the eggs then, like, are the eggs just starter Digimon cards that you have to evolve, or are they actually eggs?
They're cards.
Okay. See, this is where I'm like, how does evolving an egg work? Like,
no, it makes sense.
So
like, I mean, you'd have like Agumon level one, and then you evolve that.
Level one is your egg form, and if you actually are like, if you have any cards at home, if you take them and flip them over, there will be a bunch of blue backs, and that's your normal cards, and then you'll come across a nice little white back, and that's going to be your Digimon egg. If you look at the other side, it says level two, because level one is an egg, which is kind of cool. I really like that they kind of threw that in. Like, okay. No, you started somewhere. You started as an egg. That's your level one. You put him into your breeding area and then say I've got a level three Agumon. I pull out my Agumon. I set him down on top of him because I happen to know for a fact Agumon costs zero. So I put my Agumon on him and then I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to hard cast something out here. You can't touch my Agumon because he's in the breeding zone. But my Agumon also can't do anything because he's in the breeding zone.
Okay.
On my next turn, you know, I pass it over to George. George does his turn. It comes back to my turn. I do my upkeep, untap my things, draw my card. I check my breeding area. Do I have a creature in my breeding area? Is it above level two? Yes. I move it to the battlefield, and that's all I do with breeding on this
turn.
I now leave that. It goes to the front, and that's the end of my breeding phase.
So do you get to pick which eggs are in your deck?
If you're building your own. Yes.
Okay.
If you're not building your own, no. They pretty much give you four of the same egg and hope that maybe you pop a fifth egg to be able to throw into it. I happen to be one of those weirdos who buys two of everything, primarily because, like I said, I'm collecting it, so I'm putting one of every starter deck card also into a binder. So that does happen to leave me with some extra stuff. Mm-hmm. So I tend to use that for my, like, supplementing the fifth egg into my other deck. So all my decks, instead of having the four eggs that you start with, have five eggs, but they are all the same because that's what the starter deck gives you. So I just wanted to make sure that there were all the eggs you could have, but nothing particularly different, so that I could still be like, these are pretty much basic, ready-to-go starter decks. I haven't mucked with them or...
But you can still play monsters from your hand.
Yeah, you can always play monsters from your hand onto the battlefield. And
so,
that's why
so
the
if
memory
you had,
is nice, is because...
If you had an Agumon level 2 sitting in your breeding zone,
yeah,
but you also had an Agumon 3 in your hand, and you just wanted to hard cast it, you could just do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, so, like, your level 2 would be Tokemon. I just know that.
No,
I've been playing a bunch.
I only remember, like, brief bits from the TV show back in the 90s. And so I'm like, Agumon, that's the one I remember the
you're
best.
You're still on point, though, for getting, like, the evolutions going. But yeah, Tokemon will evolve into either Birdramon or Agumon.
Mm-hmm.
And so say I have a level 3. Like, I've played a level 3. I've still got some memory left. I've got a level 4 in my hand. I can play that onto my breeding character as well. Once again, they can't do anything, but they also can't be touched currently, so
can you go from you have to go just like through the levels though, like
gotta,
two, three, yep. Four, you can't go two to four.
Nope.
Okay.
You gotta go up if you want to cast that four cost without evolving. And sometimes you're not gonna have a level three in your hand to evolve your level two, and that's also why you check to see if you have one. Do I have one currently in my breeding area? Because maybe I didn't have a three drop on my last one. I've drawn a couple cards, maybe now I do. It's time to start playing with that one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that allows you to kind of, you have to hard cast.
Okay.
And that's why it's cheaper, though, to evolve, is because they're putting that level restriction on you of you have to go up in sequential order.
Okay.
But it's half the
and
casting cost, usually.
Is the memory, is memory kept on like a board, a score sheet, or trackers of some sort?
A tracker, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
There's a nice little tracker. I'll bust out our demonstration for Hannah here. So, one of the cool things I did, I have been playing Commander long enough that I felt really dumb when, like, a year ago, somebody was like, why didn't you put your Commander in a different colored sleeve so you stopped mixing it in? And my brain went, I don't know, because I'm stupid. That was the best reason I had, because that was the smartest thing I had ever heard in my entire life. So I learned. I've put all my eggs into nice red ones, and then my other guys into other color sleeves. But essentially, each deck and every pack will come with one memory gauge sheet to it.
Okay.
When you are playing, when you get them out of the starter decks, they've got rules on the back, which is really
nice.
They even come with these little, if you want, they've got little stamp out bits that you can punch out so that you can actually move it.
To use as the token?
Yep, to move as the token. I tend to use a penny because I like to put them in my sleeves and stuff, but it's nice to know that I have that option there if I want it, so that, like, I think my green one, I took Kyle to the laundromat and we ended up playing. I didn't have any pennies in my pocket and a quarter is a little too big. So I was like, and just popped my green one out and then kind of jimmied it back into its spot and then slid it back into the card and it re-flattened itself out. So they are kind of, like, if you've got a sleeve for it, you can kind of pop them in and out and still, like, put them back and get it to work. But essentially, we had set up these two cards right next to each other. One says player one, one says player two. It does not really matter which one you have. I just like having a player one and player two because I'm ridiculous in this.
And it's player one and player two. It says it right on there.
So we've been talking about the memory gauge, essentially. I'm going to use this little pan here. So first player always starts at zero. That's kind of their big drawback, and they don't draw a card.
Okay.
And so pretty much whatever you play on your first turn is going to push it into your opponent's turn, unless like you have a cheap evolve, like a level zero evolve or something like that. It's going to pretty much push it. But at that point, even if I play a one drop, now we're into the game of tug of war for memory. So you now have one memory to spend. You can spend as much as you want,
but if I spend 11 memory, then my opponent then has 9.
Yeah. So you play, and that's the other thing, is you have to do it by card. So if you don't have a 10 drop card in your hand, you're not going to be able to play 10 memory.
Yeah.
You've only got, you know, what you've got in your hand. So if you're like, okay, well, the biggest thing I've got is a 6 drop. I'm going to drop that onto the field and give you 5 memory. Now I get to play with my 5 memory. So I could put, you know, be like, okay, well, I'm going to play a 3 drop little level 3, and then I'm going to evolve this guy twice into a level 4. Cool. Now I'm set. You know, and then that puts me at 0. I don't have a whole lot to do, but if that was my third turn, now I can attack.
Yeah.
And so I could have my guy out there and be like, cool, I'm going to attack. They also, another thing that we kind of skipped over, Digimon do have summoning sickness when they hit the battlefield.
True.
They don't just get to come out and go ham wild.
You can't
wild.
Just drop them and attack immediately. You gotta wait a turn for their attack.
Yeah.
So you said that the player themselves has like no HP.
One hit point.
So
which makes sense for how
the damage is then done to the Digimon themselves that are out on the field.
It's done to your security pile. So
I got that, but I was just wondering how that works, because you were talking like some of these guys have like massive damage.
So it's like inverted from how Pokemon works, where you will always put 6 prize cards out for yourself in Pokemon on a little grid. And when you kill one of your opponent's Pokemon, you take one of those prize cards. In Digimon, when you, the player, are attacked, you check your own security pile, which then will have an effect on you being attacked.
Okay.
Which is what can turn into a benefit. So, like, it could turn into, like, a Digimon trainer card, which then gives you a bonus from then on out for the rest of the game on your battlefield.
So more or less, it's a... Not quite, because there's other things you can do, but it's basically a 5 attack game.
Yeah, it's 6.
Six, you get
down to your one. Yeah, you get down to your one hit point, and you can.
So obviously, there's other stuff you can do in between, but basically, once you actually start attacking, it's a 6 attack game.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, but that brings in the next bit. So, say I've got a nice little setup over here. This is primarily for myself, so that I can help say what I'm doing here.
Props.
So I put a nice little level 3 Commandermon out, and I put a level 5. Metal Greymon on the opposite side. I'm going to use George as my opponent here.
Yeah.
I have my Commandermon, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to attack George. George flips his security card. We'll pretend it's a trainer, and he puts it out. Now, on George's turn, he's got a decision to make. He can attack me or my suspended Digimon. You cannot attack a Digimon if it's not suspended, but if it is suspended, he could attack my Digimon, killing it out and denying me another attacker, so I have his Metal Greymon. He could be like, all right, well, I'm going to attack your Commandramon, which means it's got a 7,000 compared to Commandramon's 5,000. So I would trash this, and now my board's clear. George still has his Digimon available for the next turn. So on his next turn, he'll be able to untap that, and if I haven't played anything into my battlefield, he's free to just go swinging at me.
Okay.
Most of my friends and I are not to that point. We're very much still just slugging it out, where it's like, nope, I'm just going to hit you. But I come from that's part of how I played Magic for a really long time was, okay, I'm new to Magic. I'm just going to play really aggressively and aggro, just push, 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 push. Right. And now I'm starting to learn the finesses, you know,
18 years later.
Hey. But that's kind of one of the things I really enjoy, though, about it, is that there's not a lot of blocking unless your creature has a skill called blocker on it. So it's taking the time to look at how your what your opponent did. Okay, well, he hit me for two. Do I have enough Digimon to take out his Digimon? Or do I just have to swing at him because I don't have anything big enough to kill out that Digimon? And so that's kind of where the DP levels come in, is, okay, well, I have a 5,000, he has a 7,000. His 7,000 is suspended, and I could, in theory, attack it, but I'm not going to kill it mm-hmm. without some assistance from my deck or evolving it to something that's bigger than his. So I still get the option, though, to swing at him. I'm just not going to be stopping that blocker or that attacker. And then there are some really cool abilities. Like, they've got really nice little draw abilities that come in. I think George got to see some. Yeah, George got hit with one of my security attack or security minuses. Mm-hmm. So they call it security attack. And then it'll either have a plus number or minus number next to it. Red, I've seen get up to like security plus attack 4.
Oh, wow.
So when it hits, it checks 4 cards at once.
Jeez.
It's a good chance that that card's probably going to die. But at the same time, you also just checked 4 cards at once. And yeah, so that's
crazy.
Yeah. Oh, I took all but one of your shield and your hit point. Whoops. Sucks to be you.
Whoops.
And so that's kind of a really cool thing that it can do. And then yellow's got kind of that bluish aspect from Magic where it tends to be like, no, -3. No.
Right.
But that's the other cool thing. There's no instances. So there's no wondering what your opponent's going to do on their turn. Because unless they have a card that says opponent's turn
right.
to start with, everything's on your turn. It all happens on your turn. So there's no, well, if I play this, he's going to respond and get rid of it. Or if I play this, he's going to bounce it.
Or you activated my trap card.
Yeah, no. Yeah, there's no, oh, you activated my trap
you
card.
You fool. You utter imbecile. You've yeah. activated my trap card.
It's just, okay, it's my turn to play and I get to think about the moves I want to make.
Right.
And I don't have to worry about what my opponent's going to do during my turn. And that's, I love Magic, but God, is it nice to not have to worry about that.
Yep.
Primarily because when it's not my turn, I can actually go get a drink of water.
Yeah.
And come back and be like, okay, what are we doing? I'm sorry. But you know, you could come back and be like, okay, so you played one of those. Are you waiting on me for attacks? Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Right.
You know, it's not like Magic where it was like, oh, you played that thing? Well, let's rewind your turn a little bit. Go ahead and uncast that spell, and I'm going to actually play this on that, just in case that changes what you're going to do. It makes it a lot easier when you're having a nice friendly game to just, hey, I'm going to go grab a glass of water while you do your turn, because
I can't do anything. Card games that give you, like, the ability to just do stuff on your opponent's turn. Oh, it's my turn. No, it's not. It's really just my turn, part two.
Yep.
George and I both have a couple decks that do that.
What?
It's not your turn. I'm going to tap this, and I'm going to scry one, and then I'm going to tap this, and I'm going to drop an extra land, and then I'm going to... You said it was my turn. Yeah, I lied.
Yeah.
It's my turn, part two, Electric Boogaloo.
I like that. I'm going to just start saying that, being like, okay, my turn, part two. Wait, what? It's your turn, but I'm going to keep doing stuff, so just hold on a second.
It's... Yeah.
But I like the fact that there's no instances of sorceries or anything like that. There are sorceries.
Which I think in Digimon, they're called options, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Which I kind of like. They're optional to put in.
Yeah.
Because all you really do need to play this game is the Digimon itself. Like right. A deck of Digimon will play this game. Optional cards are optional and very helpful.
Right. And like in the purple deck that I was playing, there is an option, I forget what it's called, but it's very cheap to use. So you only give your opponent like one memory. You remove one of your Digimon and you remove one of their Digimon.
Yeah.
And then you move on with your turn, doing other things.
But oh, that's nice.
And then you played that guy that lets you bring back one from the graveyard.
Yeah, yeah. Synergy. It's amazing.
I like that. Yeah. Like, because then you're like, oh, if you're attacking me and I can't take out your creature with any of my creatures, I'm just going to play this card, take that card away, put it away, and then I'll just have my card back.
It's great.
Yeah. It was not a fun time.
Hey, I like
strategies like that, where like my cards, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to take away your cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how I play all games. I don't play to win. I play to inconvenience my opponent as much as I possibly can.
It's called, that card, by the way, George, is called Deathclaw.
Oh, good. Deathclaw.
It is a Devilmon special ability.
Deathclaw. Oh,
good. What a cheery little card.
I love this game way too much. I've had...
I feel like that works well with what you've described as the purple deck's theme. Like, Deathclaw sounds very apt.
Yeah, it's...
Purple.
I can't get over how much I love this game. I really can't. I'm pretty sure that all my friends, I'm pretty sure all my coworkers, I'm pretty sure everybody I live with is tired of hearing me talk about them. I know Katie's tired of me buying new cards, because every time I buy new cards, I come home and I sit down and go through my, I bought my box today. I'm going to sit down and just play with cards for the next 7 hours while I put them into my binders.
It's really interesting for me to hear you talk about it, too, because I literally just thought when these games started dropping that it was just a rehash of the old Digimon card game. Like, I thought they were just doing a new run of it. Like, they're like, hey, let's bring back Digimon.
That thing caught such a dumpster fire
that it scared people from doing
a Digimon game for two decades almost.
Which is why when it came back, I was like, why are we doing this again? Why are we taking this risk? Like, we've already been here, guys. We already know. Nope. And then I've just heard nothing but good things about it. And I'm like, oh, okay, never mind. They changed it.
Super different company. I don't even remember who was the first one to try to put out the first Digimon game. No offense to you guys.
They retreated into obscurity.
You did bad. Real bad.
Bambi method. If you don't have anything nice to say.
Nope, that's not my style. Oh,
okay. That's right.
You did bad. You should feel ashamed. We love you.
You tried.
Thank you for the attempt, but you failed.
It's just a little rainbow, like, at least you tried.
Well, yeah. And at least we don't actually remember what company it was.
Yeah, I can't actually name you and give you crap for it.
But anyways.
But Bandai is doing this. And like I said, they did their other one. They called it the Chrono Clash system, is what they've officially named this system of card play with the memory gauge and everything involved.
Cool.
I really do think that the Naruto, Evangelion, Godzilla run were very much, okay, well, we own the we have at least enough pull to use these licenses whenever we kind of want. Why not kind of test run it before we make a full game behind it? You know, they put out a couple of boxes that were reasonably priced, and if you wanted to just get in and play, you could. You could start playing, and it was wonderful. There was no deck building aspect to it. They were already pre-built decks. You just selected which deck you wanted to play. The cool thing that I'm really bummed about is that I can't play Evangelion versus Godzilla because the Godzilla one never shipped.
Forever going to be angry about that.
Forever, because I really wanted to also play Naruto versus Godzilla. That would have been so much fun.
But then you could also do Digimon versus Godzilla.
Exactly. There's so much cool stuff that they've now done that, like, you could possibly, yeah, that's the thing, is if I want to, I could probably play these versus those games, because that's how well the Chrono Clash system works.
Nice.
And I really appreciate, like, Bandai being primarily a model building Gunpla and Ploma company, the fact that they whipped out such a really good, like, unique game, astonishing to me. I'm super stoked. I have so much hope for them in the future. Like, they're already a mega awesome corporation, but they can take over the world at this point. I don't care.
So much easier than a standard.
Almost everything I've ever played.
TCG.
Everything I've ever played has been probably harder to learn than this. This has been stupid easy to learn.
It really was intuitive. Like, I mean, with Drew being somebody that knew how to play the game, it took the course of one game for me to have... I mean, I'm sure I don't know all the different, like, little special abilities and things, because I only tried the one deck, but I felt at the end of that game that I knew what to do with the cards that I had in front of me.
Enough that you probably could have played another game without being walked through.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Definitely. But at the same time, you know, you start branching out into other things. It's like going back to the, you know, not being at the bottom of the well yet, but just having an understanding of how to swim, you know, knowing what to do with the game and the rules and everything. We're straightforward.
And am I enjoying that swim?
You have a lot more water than a lot of people.
Yeah.
I love mixing metaphors also, in case you were a curious listener.
Yeah, at this point, I think I own two of every starter deck, so I have fleshed out all of my starter decks. I have bought at least one box of everything. I think of BT1 and 1.5, I think I've bought about two boxes, and I still don't have everything. That's why I'm so mad.
Well, they did, you know, cram three sets into two sets.
Yeah, it's still obnoxious. But that's the nice thing about now that we're getting to the one-offers of, like, this is just this set. Magic normally has, what, 200-ish card, 200-plus cards that they drop?
Pushing three, usually.
Yeah. Digimon, 150.
Not bad.
152, actually, for the last couple of sets. And that's also including the three secret rares that, once again, you're not guaranteed those in a box. Don't feel bad if you open a box or four and don't get one.
It's like the definition of a chase card.
Yeah. There's three of them usually, and they're kind of the chase cards. I had a gentleman kindly break it down for me, which was really cool. He happened to be doing more digging and found out like how the breakdown is.
Cool.
And essentially, you're supposed to be guaranteed, like, what is it, eight super rares per box. And then you're supposed to also get one parallel or two parallel arts.
Like an alternate art kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
They call them parallels. Sure. But so, yeah, alternate art cards or secret rares. And those two slots are taken up by one of those things each.
Okay. Gotcha.
So you have a chance. Each one of those two slots has a chance to be either the parallel or secret rare. So you've got a chance for two secret rares in a box, but you won't be getting any parallels. Gotcha. You know? Cool. Which, once I opened up, like, once I kind of went back and looked, I got a buttload of parallels. Like, I, gotcha. Like, I was like, okay, now knowing how that kind of functions, I'm okay with this. Because I have a bunch of parallels for, like, one and two.
So it's more like you have two chances at getting a secret rare, but...
out of a box, yeah. Right. But okay. They could both be parallel arts. Fair. And some of the parallel arts are really cool. Like, I don't like the seahorse Dramon or whatever it's called. Seadramon. It's normal card. Kind of bunk. It's parallel art. Super red. Like, this whole, like, digital circuit board kind of a, nice. Like, art where, like, the back is, like, a whole circuit board and then he's all, like, cut out of it and stuff like that. Yeah, it's awesome. But before we close up the cabinet and put our cards away for the day, I do suggest that anybody who's super interested, if you go onto your iOS or Android device and open up your app store, type in Digimon TCG, you will find a wonderful little icon. It's a little blue up background with Agumon holding up one of their delightful blue cards. And if you click on that, it is a walkthrough tutorial. The first two things will teach you how to play, and then the last three bits are essentially the half decks of red, blue, and yellow. As you play through, you unlock the other three, and then you can kind of sit and play those and get a decent idea on how to play the game before Very cool. you get a chance. Yeah, it's really rad. I haven't checked on the app since it's come out, just because I crunched through it and played as much of it as I could before the actual game came out. There's that. If you get really into it, or you already got a nice supply of it and you really want to start getting out there a little bit more, I hear that Bandai is doing virtual tournaments where if nice. You have a security or if you have a little webcam, you essentially place it over your cards, you play within your camera, and you can have these little tournaments. I think they send you some minor prizes if you win.
Very cool.
Nice. It's a really cool little system. I haven't gotten a chance to check it out. I meant to this weekend before I messed up my knee. And so once I kind of messed up my knee, it threw my whole weekend out of whack, and I just laid around playing Hades instead.
I mean, there are worse things to do.
It wouldn't have taken much time and effort, though, on my half to go just look up my, like, check off of this tournament. But like I said, I messed up my knee, and I went home and iced it and played Hades in my little chair and pretended the rest of the world didn't exist for at least a day. But I'm going to be looking into that. I've had a couple guys who've already gone to done some of these. They said it was an absolute blast. It's really nice to be able to get out and play with people from kind of all over the states. But if you're really looking to get in, try out the app for its demo. Check out the tournaments if you're already into it. I'm going to turn it over to my people for any final thoughts.
Sounds like a fun game.
It's
fun.
It was great. I definitely am glad that we got the chance. And when we are able to get some more starter decks back in, there's a good chance I'll pick up a couple just so I can have a couple around.
Yeah, even if you just pick up starter decks and play them as this is all I'm really worrying about, they're just fun. Like, I haven't even built a deck and I'm still sitting here ranting and raving about the six starter decks that I have and how much I love them.
So I wanted to go and, do like a little cheesy Digimon, the theme song. And I was like, oh, crap. Well, Drew's talking here at the end. I'm going to look up the lyrics.
There's like
seven words in that entire Digimon theme song. One of them champions. Is Digimon. Yeah, that's the other six.
That's the entire.
Into champions.
Yeah. So I was trying not to laugh as I was just like, oh, this is the entire song.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a lot of that.
Lots of the. I've been watching it again.
Nice.
So those who would like to, those of you who have the nostalgia I have for Digimon, mm-hmm. I liked Pokemon as a kid.
Sure.
Digimon is where I was at, though. You were like, let's go watch Pokemon. I'm like, we can play outside. You were like, let's go watch Digimon. And I was like, why didn't you say that 4 hours ago? On Hulu, they have almost everything.
Nice.
Almost everything, including the original run of nice. Adventures.
Okay.
And the newly refurbished 2020 redo of Adventures. Ooh. It is the exact same storyline. They just came back, redid some editing to like of episodes to make things flow a little bit better and like make more sense as they flowed. Because there's a part where like essentially somebody gets off of the island breaks up. Somebody gets off of one of the smaller islands and onto the main big island where the BBEG is. And then it cuts back to everybody else.
Yeah.
Getting onto
that.
All their off their islands and like meeting up together and then eventually getting to the island. And we just hadn't heard about this dude in for forever. And they did like one little cutback episode to him where he didn't do much because he's not going to fight the BBEG by himself. And so with this, they kind of took away that excess filler episode and then made it to where everybody kind of got together, and then this character's arc of jumping from his island to the main island was after everybody had jumped over, so it made more sense that suddenly, okay, everybody's here, we can now kind of fight and do the thing.
Does BBEG mean big bad evil guy?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Always.
I'm only using that because if we have any younger viewers who want, or like parents who are like, oh man, yeah, we should watch Digimon with the kids. I don't want to spoil who the bad guy is for those who haven't seen it. But if you've got that love, they've got it all on there. I love the newly remastered series. It just looks a little better. It feels a little better. And then they've got pretty much everything up until the most recently released stuff, which you have to go over to Crunchyroll for.
Uh-huh.
It was released recently, but the cool part about that one, we're back to the original gang. I think it's called Digimon Adventures Try, I believe is what it's called. And we're back to the original gang, but the entire original gang is now in like college and high school.
Nice.
And so everybody's a little more grown up. Everybody's super bummed because they haven't seen their Digimon in forever. Oh. And it's a really awesome, great feeling when Ty sees Agumon for the first time and like who has Gabumon?
Yeah.
Matt.
Okay.
Matt has Gabumon. But the first time Ty and Agumon see each other again is just such a heartwarming, like, oh my God. Aww. It's like these friends who haven't seen each other in 5 years. And it really is like they did a great job encapsulating that, like, bro, I miss you so much. But with that, we'll close the lids on our boxes. We'll open up our cabinet and slide in our cards, and we'll call it a delightful evening. Thanks for joining us this week here on Game Cabinet. George, thanks for joining us as usual now.
Happy to be here.
Hannah, thanks for running all the things and doing all the stuff. And
all the beep booping.
Yep, helping make all this possible. And we will catch you folks next time.
You've been listening to the Game Cabinet at the AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventures Underground at their online store to browse the selections or inquire about special orders. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/ADV Underground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows, and soon, many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.